Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for another day. Not only another day on this terra firma, but another day that we are found in your house. We thank you because many started out last night and was unable to get up this morning. And it's only by your mercy and your grace that we are here today. We know why your word said, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Because all that we have and all that we are and all that we ever will be is all dependent on you. And we thank you for that. And now, Father, we are here this morning in obedience to your word. Your word said men and women should always pray and not faint. So we came this morning in prayer. Your word had declared that we should offer the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to your name, and we have done that today. Your word had declared that we should give, that it might be given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, would you give into our bosom. We have planted the seeds of economic blessing. Your word has declared that you have anointed those to minister in music and song for your congregation. And so we have been ministered to today. And now we approach the most holy aspect of worship, and that is to study your word. David has said, thy word, O Yahweh, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so, Father, we know that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And so we enter in, open to the word. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to minister through the vessel that is before you today, no matter how worthy or unworthy it might be. Minister by your spirit, or in your spirit, to your people. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen. You may be seated. We would like to acknowledge and welcome those who have joined us streaming on the internet, our Spanish speakers and our English speakers. We are so glad you came or you took time out today to be with us on the internet. We hope that one day you will come and visit us in person, that we might truly get to know you. If you would like to plant seeds into this ministry, there on your page you will see that opportunity to plant seeds into this ministry. And thank you again for joining us. Today, for all of you that are here, look at your neighbors and neighbor. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. I've had the privilege to spend 3 Sundays with you in a row. Amen. That's a privilege. And I have an opportunity to share some things with you. And I have said, as I said over the rostrum a moment ago, I have promised Yahweh that these years of ministry that I have left will be involving the most important aspects of the believer's life. Some things are not pleasant to hear. Amen. If everything Yahweh said was pleasant to hear, we would just come in and do our dance and go home and live like we want to live. But the reality is, everything is not pleasant. And you who have children know sometimes you have to scold your children. Because if you don't scold them, they will get out of control. Am I right or wrong? Amen. So you have to scold them. But your children don't take that scolding as if you hate them. They understand that you love them, but that you had to correct them. And even though they say to you, you must don't love me, they're just trying to play a game on you. They know better. Amen. And so last week we ministered paying the vow, our vow. And we said it's genetic in the spirit. That when a person is truly saved, the first thing they say is, Father, I'll serve you. It's genetic. That's the first thing. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you say. I will walk in your word. Everyone who really got saved said that to Yahweh. Amen. If you didn't say that, you're not saved. Because it's genetic. Other word, it's what happens when you get saved. And so we talked about how sometimes we can forget the vows that we have made. And many times, the believers' lives, the roads of their lives are strewn with broken promises. I promise I'll do this, Father. I promise I'll do that. If you do this for me, I promise I'll do that. And if they would look back on the roads of their lives, they would see broken promises strewn across the roads of their lives. They fail to realize the reason that life has not been good is that they have broken their promises or their vow. And I spoke that to help some of you to realize that a promise to Yahweh is sacred. No matter how small that promise is, it's a sacred promise. I will do this, I will do that, Father. It is sacred. And so we started out as our base scripture in Tehillim. And I want you to turn there. You call it Psalms. Tehillim 116. We're going to go back to there again. We're just going to keep going back. Sometimes you have to keep going back to the well. And it says, the 12th verse, what shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits toward me. And then the 13th verse is the one that we are going to zero in on. The 12th verse is simply a verse of commitment, a verse desiring to please Yahweh. And so the question in the verse is, what can I give to Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? And it is not asking you that question. It is not asking me. That's a question that the person is asking themselves. What can I give back to Yahweh for all that he's done for me? And then David will answer that. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. But actually, it didn't say I will take. It said I will elevate the cup of salvation. The word here is nasa in the Hebrew. I will lift up. I will elevate the cup of salvation. In other words, I will make salvation the most important aspect of my life. There's nothing more important than my salvation. Not my children, not my father, not my mother, not my wife. No, nothing and nobody is more important than my salvation. In other words, I'm elevating my salvation to the top shelf of my life. There's no room. When you come to Yeshua, there's no room for self. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self-ambition. I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to be that. There's no room for that. It's all about your salvation. It's all about Yeshua. It's all about Yahweh. It's all about, someone said, the kingdom. It's not about you anymore. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's all about my what? Salvation. It's all about my relationship to my Savior. And whatever it takes, I will cherish and protect my salvation. There is no middle ground. You cannot straddle the fence. It's either him or it's nothing. Yeshua will not accept part of you. He wants all of you. And you can't play the game with him. Like, I love you and I'm close to you, when you're really not. And so let's start out in the book of Luke. Dr. Luke wants to talk with you all about that. Luke 11. And if you care to shout over this, go ahead on. He that is not with me is against me. Maybe I better say that again. He that is not with me is against me. Other words, Yeshua said, you are either with me not near me, not somewhere in the vicinity where I am, but you're either with me or you're against me. And somebody said, well, we know that the Bible says, come as you are. That's not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, come as you are. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The implication is, come as you are. But the implication is, come as you are, and I will change you from what you are. Amen. Not come as you are and remain as you are. Amen. So, Netanyahu 16 said, Yeshua said, if any man or woman will come after me, he or she must first deny themselves. What you want, what you like, how you feel. You see, they will first deny themselves and take up my cross and follow me. Romans 8 said, the carnal mind is an enemy of Yahweh. Other words, you're still in what you want to do, you become an enemy of Yahweh. If you are saved, you surely don't want to be an enemy. Amen. One thing we many times avoid in our salvation, and that is making an irrevocable decision. You hear what I said? It requires making an irrevocable decision because there are requirements. Yahweh has requirements. Guess what, people? There are requirements. Once you come to him, you don't come to him and do your thing. You have to meet certain requirements. He don't make you come. He says you come, but there are certain requirements. Everything in life has requirements. Why would we think God has no requirements? Well, he's merciful. Yes, he is. And he'll wait a long time. But he's also got a judgment. You ask the folks back in Noah's time. How many of you seen the movie Noah? Ask the folks back in Noah's time. Yes, he was a long-suffering God. But when it came down to the point that men had gotten so bad, he brought judgment. So he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. And he has certain requirements for his people. Look at your neighbor's neighbor. There's requirements over here. Say, neighbor. Yahweh requires something from you. Say, neighbor. It's not all fun and games over here. There are requirements. But if you will be wise in your thinking, you would realize that everything in life, there are requirements. So you want to be a teacher. There's requirements. First of all, you got to go to school. And then you got to kind of go to classes and take courses to be a teacher. And then you got to pass exams to be a teacher. Those are the what? The requirements. Life, in everything in life, there's requirements. Even if you're married, there's requirements, people. You're to love your wife, love your husband. Those are the requirements of marriage. And if you don't love your wife, if you don't love your husband, you have not lived up to the requirements of a marriage. And loving your husband or loving your wife don't mean beating up on them all the time. I don't mean with fists. Because some of you are out of control with your mouths. There is a requirement that you control your mouth. Yeah. Somebody, I was talking to somebody, I said, you know, somebody was kind of arguing or something with me, or being a little snipey. And I said to somebody, I can't stand the violence. They said, well, that's not violence. I said, it's to me, that's violence. Are you going to say, well, okay, understand what I'm trying to say? You grow, when you grow in God, you grow to a point where words become violent. You will not say them because they are what? Violent. You're on your wife all the time. You're on your husband all the time. And you're being violent. You don't have to hit them. Your words sting. I'm getting in trouble now, but. The Bible said, be slow. That's a requirement. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. Do not let any evil communication come out of your mouth. I'm just trying to make the point. There's requirements. Now look at Davarim 10. You call it Deuteronomy. Davarim 10. I told you, I promise you, I'm not going to preach any insignificant message. And now, 12th verse. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh, thy Elohim, what require of thee? And so here is the word. Now, and now, Israel, what does Yahweh thy Elohim require of what? Thee. There is no doubt that there are what? Requirements. But what are the requirements that God requires of you? And he'll tell you. But to reverence Yahweh thy Elohim. Do you know what reverence means? How many of you know what reverence means? Reverence means to honor, to be aware that you do not do something that causes some kind of harm to someone. He said you are to reverence Yahweh thy Elohim. Reverence means that I'm going to treat you like you are very important in my life. God said you're to reverence me. You're to treat me like I'm the most important thing in your life. What are the requirements? First of all, that we reverence him. So when I come into Yahweh's house, I don't come here shucking and jiving. If I'm going to stand up before the people of Yahweh, I'm going to make sure that my life is right. I will not stand up and call myself preaching for Yahweh and my own life is not right. And some of you sitting here today, your lives are not right. You know it, and I know it. And most of all, Yahweh knows it. So what is the first requirement? What is the first requirement, church? That you reverence Yahweh. To walk in his way, not your ways, not somebody else's ways, but that you walk, and that means live your life in what? His way. He's the most important person in your life, and you live your life according to what? His way. And to love him, hallelujah, and to what? Love him. Oh, you can get up and preach, you can get up and direct a choir, but do you love him? Oh, you can be a deacon on the deacon board, yes, but do you what? Do you love him? But well, I'm serving God. I'm serving on the deacon board. I'm a minister. Yeah, but do you love him? Because if you don't love him, you won't treat him right. When I was out in the world, the thing you heard from the married women that was out there swinging, I don't love him like I used to. Well, you're sitting at the bar and you're drinking, you're talking to a woman, she's telling you, hey, you know, my husband, I don't love him like I used to. Well, you know, you got yourself a ticket tonight, that night. Because if she don't love him, she's susceptible to anything. You show me a woman don't love her husband, I'll show you a woman that somebody can get next to. How you know? How you know, Apostle? Been there, done that. He says, first of all, you have to respect me. You are to, I'm to be the most important person in your life. And then you're to walk in my way. And you're to love me. And we all know, look, we're not beginners here. Most of you are grown-ups. We know if you don't love someone, you are not going to treat them in the manner that you would if you love him. And here's Yahweh's plan. You are to love him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. You are to love him with everything you got. Because when you love him, you won't play on him. When you love him, you won't have need for spoil. You say, why are you preaching this in the church? Because there are people in the church, eyeing men and women, some of the women who are saved. I know it's hard for you to believe. But there are women who are saved in the church who are eyeing other men and googling at them and you know. Have mercy. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. Amen. To love him and to serve Yahweh thy Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, all your spirit and all your mind. Someone you love, you think about them all the time. Am I right or wrong? When you love somebody, they're always on your what? Who's that? Willie somebody? Willie some wrote the song. Really? You're always on my mind. You're always on my mind.
Rachel.
Willie Nelson, that's right. I thought I'd get some old folks here. And the song is so very true. When you love somebody, they're always on your mind. I don't spend 20 minutes without thinking about Yahweh. He's always on my mind. And when he's on my mind, he's not on my mind in a bad sense, he's on my mind in a good sense. And you're to serve him with all your heart, with all thy soul. 30 verses. And to keep his commandment, and to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command thee this day, because I want you to do what I want you to do. Is that what he said? No, he didn't. Now read it. Read it out loud, somebody. For thy good, not for me. I don't really need your love because I'm God. I am all sufficient within myself, but I'm compassionate and I have mercy and I love you. And so I'm telling you this for your sake. For your sake. See, if you don't do this, and you say you're supposed to be saved, you will not prosper. You will not be happy in your salvation. You will not have any peace. You will not be able to prosper and have goods and things. You will not be able to live in a peaceful manner that you can go home and sit down with you and your wife and y'all not fussing. The worst thing in the world is a fussing wife. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say fussing husband. I said fussing wife. Because that's the difference between men and women. Men normally, now you got some of these bizarre guys who want to fight all the time, but men normally just want some peace. That's all they ask for, just a little peace. When I come home and sit down, but you just want a little what? Just want a little peace. You want somebody to say, how was the day, darling? Is there something I can get you? You want to relax? Here, put your feet up. Ooh, man, ain't nothing you want to do for that woman. You'll jump off a bridge into cold and muddy water to save her. money. He says, I want you to do this for your whose good? For your good. I want you to understand that respecting me and walking in my commandment is for what? For your good. Not for me. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to me. See? All the silver and gold is mine. If I was hungry, I would not ask you. So whatever I'm requiring of you is for your good. And because there are requirements, decisions must be made. My brothers and sisters, and especially my sisters, marriage is not a panacea. Marriage doesn't guarantee that everything is going to be hunky-dory for the rest of your life. Marriage means that two people who was raised in two different environments, who believe two different things, are trying to come together and reconcile their differences. So when you decide if you want to be with somebody, well, I shouldn't put it that way, because you don't have to marry today to be with somebody. But it used to be, if you wanted to be with somebody and you feel you love them, you married. Am I right or wrong? It used to be that way. I'm glad I'm not a really young man in this time. Because I've probably been married 20 times. But when I come along, you're supposed to marry one woman. And so it made me very careful about marriage. You know, I was 26 years old. Now you say, that ain't old. But in my time, if you were 26 years old and not married, people looking at you funny. What's wrong with him? Because, you know, I was a military man, and we were married 19, 20, 21, 22, y'all. I was 26 years old trying to find a woman to marry. Amen. I had some proposed to me. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that's the way it was. But, you know, in my time, the woman didn't propose to the man. When you approach me, I'm jumping back. What's wrong? I'm trying to find out what's wrong. What's your hurry? What's your deal here? You're supposed to let me pop the question. Amen. I remember once I had this girlfriend. I went to her house, and I walked into the house, and we sat there, and the mama gave us a little something to drink, and she said, "Oh, I'm just so happy for you all." So I'm saying, are you happy? She said, yeah, y'all are getting married in August. I could hardly wait to finish sipping that glass. I'm getting out of that. And when I got out of there, I ran to my car, jumped in my car, and took off. Never came back. Supposed to be in love. You ready to spend the rest of your life. See, this is like a marriage. That's why Yeshua is called, his kingdom is called the bride. The bride. And when I come to him, I came to him forever. Forever. And this requires a decision. You just can't say, I think I'll come to Yahweh. I think I'll get saved. But you've got to count up the cost. Yeshua said that was a man who was going to build a house, but he did not count up the cost. Whether he would have sufficiency to finish it. So if you want to be saved, you ought to count up the cost. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to have your sin washed away. It's a wonderful thing to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It's a wonderful thing to have God as your Father. But you ought to sit down and count up the cost, for there are requirements. And it's a big decision. Yehoshua. See, I tell you, I'm not talking about nothing that don't make no difference anymore. And here is Yahweh talking. And you, some of you can kind of feel that you're in this category. 13th verse. I have given you, this is Yahweh talking. 24th chapter, Yehoshua 24. I have given you a land for which you did not labor. And you say, well, what's that got to do in the spirit? The Bible said we were all baptized into the body, and we're all in the kingdom of Yahweh. And that is a place that you didn't work for. You didn't earn it. You got it from him. So even though he's talking in the natural to these people, the Bible, the word of Yahweh said, all of this was written for our learning and our admonition. So he was talking also to us. I have given you a land which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build. All the blessings of Yahweh that he's given us, we didn't do that. And don't you go around here like the Republicans and start saying, we did do that. You don't know what I'm talking about. See, people so mixed up in their mind. But when President Obama said, all that road stuff, you didn't do that. And so these Republican guys say, he's talking about folks they ain't built, they didn't, they didn't do that. But nobody does this by themselves. And so Elizabeth Warren kind of wrapped it up. She said, the roads that take your product to the market, you didn't build that. The rails that take it, you didn't build that. You built a little business and it sprang up. But if it wasn't for what we have done, your business wouldn't be. And here's what Yahweh is saying. You did not build the cities, and you dwell in them, for of the vineyards and olive yards which you plant, which you planted not, do you eat. See, when you're in Yahweh, he has supplied all of your need according to what? His riches in glory. And then the 14th verse. And now, therefore, reverence Yahweh and serve him in sincerity. This word is not in the Hebrew. Tamim is the word. And it simply means serve him wholly, completely, perfectly. Serve him wholly and in truth. If you're around here, people trying to serve God, and yet they don't want to believe his word. The only way you can serve God is in his word. He's the only one that knows what it means to serve him. You don't know what that means by yourself. Serve him in the word. serving through the word. In what? In truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Other words, when you were unsaved. You say, well, I didn't serve no God. Yes, you did. You served a lot of gods. Amen. You served the God of hate. You served the God of lust. You served the God of money. Huh? You served the God of selfishness. And you did it religiously. And you said, I heard you say, you said, when it comes to love, I simply can't help myself. I got to have a woman, I got to have a man. Religious. You had to have it. I had a sister came to my office many years ago. And she walked in and she said, I got to tell you something. And I said, well, what is that? She says, I just got to have a man. I can't live without a man. And she said in the way that I understood what she meant. And I'm looking at her like, why you come to me? You trying to send me some signal? Why don't you come to my office and walk in, and the first thing you tell me, you got to have a man. And even though she was saved, she was still serving the God of lust. And many in the church are serving the God of lust. They're still playing. They're still having little events on the porch and in the backyard. And sometimes they might find a motel. And in the car. Yeah, in the car. You have to put away the gods that you serve on the other side of the flood.
Well, you know, God is merciful.
True. But he's a God that will whip your behind sometimes too. And he's also a God that'll put you out if you get too mad. Y'all didn't know that, did you? He'll put you out if you get too mad. Now I know y'all not even kind of messages. You know, I'm supposed to tell you how wonderful you are. And all you have to do is just claim it and receive it. And that's a big lie. If your life is not right, you can claim all you want to. God ain't giving you nothing.
Well, you know, it's impossible to live like that.
I was married 50 years and I lived like that. And I've been unmarried 5 years, which is my wife has flown on to glory. And I've been like that. And if a gigolo like I was can do it, surely you can. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me. I've been around the world 3 times, saw everybody twice. I know what it is. I know what it means. Amen. And I've lived for Yahweh all these years. I haven't been intimate with a woman in 12 years. Because my wife was ill for a number. If you love God, you can do it. If you love God, you can do it. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? If you love God, you can live for Him. And I dare you find anybody that say, I've ever kissed anybody. Amen. When you love God. When you love God. He says, now listen. You have to put away the gods that you served on the other side of the flood. All the gods of the Amorites, the gods of your friends. You gotta have my friend. I gotta have my friend. They my friend. And so they're doing everything, so you out there with your friend, doing what your friend are doing. And so they say, they know, and you know, always have a little drink. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where it say you can't have a little drink. You say, oh, well, yeah, I love. Look, there ain't nowhere say you can't have any drink, but you got the Holy Ghost. I remember when I first got saved. And I went home, and man, I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm feeling good. And the next week, my neighbor next door to me, we used to live next door. We never had any real relationship, just twice said hello. First thing I had, Will, you want a beer? And I just had a discussion with my pastor. And I said to my pastor, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says you can't have a little drink. It said drunkenness is a sin, but it never said you couldn't have a little drink. In fact, it said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. So I said, yeah. I drank that beer. That was the worst day of my life. The Holy Ghost whipped me. The Holy Ghost whipped me that I didn't have to go to. I laid down on the bed. I turned in. The Holy Ghost was whipping me, man. And I said, Father, if you forgive me this time, you'll never have to worry about me again taking a drink. See, there might not be prohibitions against something, but they are wrong to do. And I never took another drink in my life. In whose land? But as for me, and this is Yehoshua talking. You call him Joshua. Here's what he says. But as for me, in my house, I have made an irrevocable decision. We will serve Yahweh. He said to us, you got to do what? You have to make it what? You have to make a decision. And then this is what the people said. The people said, 63. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake Yahweh and serve other gods. That's what they said. How many of you in here today that when you got saved, you said to Yahweh, I will always serve you. Let me see your hand. Always serve you. You're the only God. And that's what these people said. They said, how could we leave Yahweh and serve other gods. And they meant it. But they later on, they substituted. How many of you have ever substituted? You know, sometimes if you ever play sports, the substitute is not quite as good as the first stringer. And sometimes you only substitute because you have to, because the first stringer get hurt, right? Well, these people sort of substituted a second string god for a first string god. Yeheskel, no, Yeshayahu 29. This is the last one, I promise. Yeshayahu 29. And I'm going to reveal something to you. And then I'm going to let you go home. And then you can think about this. And then when you come back next week, you can make a decision. I know you're already saved, but you got to make a decision whether or not it's going to be only Yahweh in Yeshua that you serve. Yeshayahu 29, 13th verse. Wherefore, Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I love the Lord.
They draw near to me with their mouths. Some of the worst people I ever met in the church was people who were always talking about how much they love the Lord. God, if you believe what they said, you would think that they would never do nothing that would violate their relationship with Yahweh. Oh, and they can say it so good. Oh, I just love the Lord. And they roll the Lord and off their tongue. The Lord. But Yahweh said, they draw near me with their mouths. And with their lips, they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their reverence toward me is taught by the are taught in the precepts of men. What is he talking about then? Most people in the church world today have learned how to mimic being or praising or worshiping Yahweh. Special church has special praise. And they all praise like that's how they were taught. They weren't taught to allow the Holy Spirit to spontaneously rush from them in a praise to Yahweh. They were taught a certain way. That's what he's talking about. To praise God. Some of them, oh, praise you. All of them jump up and down just like that. Some of them have a special way of shouting. And they all shout the same way. And some of them have special music. Don't. And they all get up. Yeah, how'd that go? Show us how that go. Put them on. Let's show you how it go. They're all doing the same way. And I was at a church, and everybody just be sitting around. And you know, everybody sitting around, the preacher's preaching, he ain't making much sense. But then he looked over at the organist, and the organist was talking. What he was doing? And everybody's up on their feet. That's enough. Everybody's up on their feet. Wasn't nothing going on. But they were taught by men what it meant to praise God.
Oh, honey, we had a great time. Ooh, you should have seen Brother Joseph. Oh, that boy shouted.
Well, Brother Joseph shouted that way all the time when the music started. I was at church, and they'd all get out there, and this brother, I ain't gonna call him, because he's probably still alive. And they get out there, you know, and they'd always, he hold his hand in front of him, like, hey, I'll just let me. And all the little kids, they out there. Now listen to this. And their reverence toward me is taught by in the precepts of men. They're not taught to let the Holy Spirit begin to fill their heart with praise and to begin to release the Spirit in praise. They haven't taught that a spirit song could gush forth and engulf the whole church. And everybody, even those who have never sang in the Spirit, but they got the Holy Ghost and they begin to sing in the Spirit. What are you saying? We made up church. We were taught it needed to be exciting. So this is the way to do it. But this is much more than just a tradition. It's much more than being taught how to shout. It is much more than that. It is a life that has been given to Yahweh in Yeshua, and an irrevocable decision that has been made that He is my God, and I will live for Him, and I'll die for Him. Shaul was saying, not only am I willing to be put in chains, but I'm willing to die. This is something much more important than just tradition. This is eternal life. Sometimes we trade eternal life for these short years that we spend on this terra firma. We trade off eternal life. But this is about Yahweh, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary that our sins might be forgiven, and gave the whole tent the Holy Ghost that we might be strengthened to live the new life that has been given in Mashiach Yeshua. And I'm here to tell you, I've been in the church for many, many years. And I was out of the church for many, many years. I was 34 or 5 or so. 34, I think, when I got saved. So half of my life was spent in the world. This is the best life that a person can live. And doing it
Walking in holiness is the best way. It's the best life. We had all the confusion in the world. I had it all. I did all that stuff I did out there, but it didn't make me happy. It didn't fulfill me. It only made me more unhappy. As I took advantage of people and did stuff, I became more unhappy. But over here, in Yahweh, in Yeshua, has been the best. Bow your head. You know, I simply want to offer to the people here today a decision based on knowledge. From one who have lived both lives and can honestly attest that this is the best life. I know sometimes we are told that this life in the church is a boring life. Well, if boring means that we are not running from the police, if boring means we are not locked up in somebody's jail, if boring means we're not dodging somebody's husband, if boring means our hearts are not broken, then maybe this is a boring life. But the reality is, this is a good life. This is a life that we weren't born for. This is a life that we were created for. We were never created for the life of sin. We were all created for the life of God, the life of truth, the life of love, the life of honor. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to offer that life to you. And if you're here, if you raise your hand, I will pray for you. If you're here today and you said, I want a different life. I want a life without all the misery that I suffer. If you're here today, I want you to raise your hands and let me pray for you. Let someone pray for you who has been...